maybe somebody here in Hanley today like a copy of God's Word, the written Word of God, extract that is from the Bible, God's written Word, offered to you quite freely, without any cost or obligation to you. Full Bible, New Testament, or this John's Gospel, introduction to the Bible itself. You'd like to read, study, meditate upon God's Word, who knows? But maybe He shine the light into your heart and mind and reveal the wonderful, wonderful knowledge of Himself to you. In the face, that is, of His Son, Jesus Christ. He's the one, don't you know, of whom the Bible testifies from beginning to end, start to finish. Because He's the one, of course, the only one who can bring us to God and to God's salvation. The forgiveness of God. The Bible, of course, informs us, you know, about God's revelation, you know, of God, what God is like. And of course, truly, I mean, not the God who's a figment of the imaginations of many people, you know, not the white-bearded old gentleman sitting on the edge of a cloud, just waiting to ooze out, you know, forgiveness and love. You know, as you dictate, just as you fancy. But no, it's the God of the Bible who has chosen to reveal Himself in the Bible and nowhere else. And of course, particularly in His Son, Jesus Christ. And of course, the revelation too, you know, revealing that is, unveiling, if you like, of well, what we're like, what you're like, you know, truly. And again, you know, not the figment of men's imaginations, you know, I'm a good person, I'm okay, thank you, you know, don't need God, don't need nobody, I can do it myself, I am a good person. On the contrary, God says otherwise. He says that there's none good, and there's none that doeth good. And of course, now the reason as to why, well, you need to come to a knowledge of God and of course of being reconciled to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. But the Bible, of course, I say, would inform you of many, many things that at this point, this juncture in your existence that you know not. For instance, in the book of Hebrews, if you have a Bible with you, maybe you'd like to turn there. Hebrews chapter 11, it's a very informative chapter of the Bible. It tells us here in verse 3 that through faith we understand, we grasp, you know, we get it. Yeah, through faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The world, you see, creation as we call it, nature perhaps, maybe is how you refer to it, you know, but it's not a natural thing at all. Supernatural. By the Word of God, you see, by the same Word that I present to you here today. That Word of God that brought His creation into being. All things, you know, not the happenstance, not the accident of evolution, but God, by His Word, speaking it supernaturally into being. And of course, well, the Bible informs us just as to how that took place. You go back to the beginning, to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, that is, the first chapter and the first verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So you see, there was a beginning, which of course, dismisses, excludes the notion, you know, as some people have at least anyway, you know, that the world always was, that there never was a time, you know, when it wasn't. It's always been here and always will be. Not so, my friends. And some people, you know, because they think that, well, Jesus Christ is slow in returning again. They argue, they say, well, you know, the world just carries on, it's always done. No change. Bible says otherwise. It says, no, the original creation, the order that God brought about in the beginning, not quite the same now today. Back then, you see, it was held, it was kept by water above and below, and then came the catastrophic flood. A warning to us, solemn warning to us, that God is a holy God, a just and a righteous God, and there are times when He judges men for their sins. And of course, that old world back in Noah's day was judged for its wickedness. Such wickedness as you see being performed in your world, in your own society today. God brought about that flood, not just rain, a heavy rainfall, but water coming up and water coming down, so that the whole of humanity, apart from 8 persons, perished in that flood. But now the world is kept, God says, by fire, ready for that final judgment, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come in power and glory to judge the world in righteousness by His Son Jesus Christ. So all things, you see, in the beginning was different. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But my friends, there was a beginning. It has not always been, and it will not always be as it is now. But here's the question, are you ready for that day when God comes to judge the world in righteousness by His Son Jesus Christ? That's the important thing. So you see, the world is not eternal, but God is. Some people, they come up with the, well, it's a rather silly question. Well, to me at least anyway, but I understand. They say, well, who made God? Well, the answer to that question is nobody. Because God, unlike the world, the universe that He made, it had a beginning, but not God. It has an end, but not God. God always was, always is, and always will be. He is the eternal God, without beginning and without end. He made everything, and He made it all. He made it for His own glory. Everything exists, you see, for the glory of God. And everything that God does in all His creation, He does for His own glory. That might come as a surprise to some people. You know, today in this modern day and generation, many people, you know, they think that everybody and everything exists, you know, for them. And won't betide you if you get in the way and if you don't give them what they want and desire. Well, they think, don't you know, that the world revolves around them. That it was all made for them. It's that, you know, independent spirit, you know, I don't need God, and, you know, just living for self. It's the very essence of sin, don't you know? Self, you know, I, me, and hang everybody else. But no, contrary to that notion, if I might dispel it from your mind today, if nothing else, that you were made, you see, you are put here by God. Everything was, all God's creation, all done for His glory. And of course, that's man, don't you know, that's man's chiefest and highest aim is to glorify God. And if you're not doing that, well, you've not reached your highest aim. Whatever you might achieve in this world, some technology expert, CEO of some great company, a celebrity of some kind, you know, not your highest aim, not the primary purpose for what God put you here and put everything else here for His glory. That's what you were made for. And here's the truth of the matter. You see that if God is not glorified in you, in your salvation, well, it's a certain fact you'll be glorified in your damnation. So you see, my friends, you have to get it right. You have to understand, you know, the fact of creation that God made everything in the beginning. And He made it for His glory. Everything, the stars in the sky, planet Earth, and all creatures great and small, and mankind, yourself included, every one of us. And so you see, my friends, because of this, because God, the sovereign of the universe, made everything for His glory, independence of God is a great wickedness. Because you see, my friends, though you may think yourself to be independent of God, you're not really. Because in Him you live and you move and you have your being. You cannot exist without Him, live without Him, breathe without Him, even have a meaningful, sensible thought without Him. No, my friends, you are dependent upon Him. Chance whether you realize it, chance whether you acknowledge it or not. You are constantly dependent upon Him for life and being. And my friends, at His behest, when He deems your time to be up, He will take you away out of this world. You don't just die. Nobody just dies. God takes them away, my friends. And everybody, sooner or later, is taken away. But the question is, where will you be taken away to? To be with your Creator God? Or perhaps to another dark place where you don't really, really want to go? Believe me, the Bible speaks about that too. God even, don't you know, created hell for the devil and for his angels. And that's the end, you see, of all those who are blinded by Satan, by the devil. That's the end of all those who choose, or think they choose rather, to live independently of God, you know? To cock a snoop at God, as it were. To give God the finger, you know? And live selfishly, wickedly, enjoying and taking all the good gifts that God affords you, but not being related to Him in obedience, in love. You see, the thing that God commands all men is that you obey Him. How you obey Him, you love Him. That's what God requires of you, that you love Him. If you loved Him, if you loved God, as you should, with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, well, I tell you what a world it would be. We wouldn't need any armies. We wouldn't need any policemen. We wouldn't need any courts. They would all be redundant because everybody would be doing absolutely everything that they should be doing. But because of you, yes, sir, can I help you?
I have to touch you, sir.
Pardon?
I have to touch you because I respect that.
Sir. Okay, sir, thank you. God bless you, sir. Have a good day. It's independence from God. It's wickedness in the extreme, my friends. You are made to relate to God. A covenant relationship with God. Covenant relation of friendship. He your sovereign friend, and you his servant friend.
The question.
Yes, sir.
What about Leviticus? What about all that shit about killing people? Do you agree with that?
What?
The bit in Leviticus about killing people if they're gay.
Killing who? Killing who?
Well, if you're gay, right, you sleep with a mother man who's gay, apparently you should be killed.
That's no.
That's what it says. It says.
Show me. Well, show me.
Leviticus, page 175, the usual Bible. It says if you're gay and you sleep with another man as you would with your wife, you should be killed in Market Square by burning.
God says no. It does not say that.
It says. Should be killed.
Can you let me talk?
You've been talking for half an hour, mate, and you're boring me.
Okay, get off. Get off. Get on your knees. Repent. Believe the gospel. Are you gay?
I believe.
Are you gay? Are you gay?
No, I'm not gay. No, okay. What it says, if you're gay, you should be killed.
You're a sinner. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It does not. It does not. It does not. So like I say, friends, you know, the word of God, creation, all came about by the word of God. And the Bible, my friends, the Bible, independence from God is wickedness in the extreme. Made to relate to God, made to relate with God in a covenant bond of friendship with God. But of course, for that to come about now, that to take place now, my friends, well, you have to be reconciled to God because of the fact of sin that has come in, separating men and women from God, separating them as a result of their iniquities, separated from your best good, separated from your Creator, your Maker. And my friends, the only way back to God, the only way into that relationship with God is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave himself for them, so that this relationship of friendship might be yours. So the doctrine, you see, the teaching of the Bible with regards to creation, well, it tells us something about the nature of God. What God is like, you see, this is what the Bible is about. Revealing God. Revealing His power, His divinity. Revealing all these things that are seen before you. In God's works, in His creation, in all of what you call nature, revealing God to you so that all men, the Bible says, are without excuse because of the things that God has made. But I ask you, my friends, for somebody, no, not evolution, my friends, but God, by the word of His power, the Bible says, bringing everything, the worlds, the universe in its entirety, by the word of His power, speaking it into being. With a very loud voice, maybe perhaps you would like to call that a big bang. But the big bang, my friends, is God's voice. And brought everything into being. And don't you know, the Bible says at the end there will be a big voice, a very loud voice, another big bang, that will bring it all to a conclusion. And then the judgment, my friends, we must all appear before the judgment throne of God and give account in that day, my friends, for not knowing God, for not having obeyed the gospel. Oh, my dear friends, nothing more important they tell you today. More important than that you breathe, that you obey the gospel, the call of the gospel to repent and believe the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be brought out of your independence, your wicked state of living independently of God and getting into a right relationship in love, in kindness and grace with God, the creator of all things. So you see, my friends, the only one who is truly independent is God. He's God himself. He's totally independent. He's the only one who is absolutely free and absolutely free to do all of his will. And so you see, my friends, when he commands you to obey the gospel, to love him, he has every right so to do, because he's the creator, you know. You're not independent, but God is. And he has every right. He's the sovereign ruler of the entirety of his creation, and has every right to command you. He's independent. He's free. He's free, my friends. He gives life and he takes life. You might say, well, he has no right to do that. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. He's independent and he's free to do all of his will. But his will, of course, is always according to his character. He's a holy God. Holy God, a sin-hating God who judges sin. And my friends will bring you one day to judgment too. Should you not repent, that is, of your sin, and turn to God through his Son, Jesus Christ? He's independent, my friends. He's almighty. He's infinite in his power. Nothing that he can't do. And this, my friends, surely, is brought to your attention by the fact that he created everything by the word of his power. Oh, you can speak about that tree there. You can speak about that building there. But you can't speak and bring a tree into being. You can't speak and bring a building into being. But God spoke and brought that which was not into being. The entire universe, the world, and everything in it. Infinite in his power. But that's the one you're up against. That's the one you're at enmity against. That's the one that you're fighting against. That's the one that you're living in contradiction to, my friends. And I tell you, that's a fight. That's a war, my friends, that you cannot win, because you're up against infinite power. And here you are, just a tiny little snowflake. Just a tiny little piece of dust, sinful dust, on the horizon of God's universe. Oh, my friends, today repent. Yeah, I tell you, he has the power, infinite power. He has the power to save. He has the power to make you again, to recreate you, and make you a new creature in his Son, Jesus Christ. And my friends, all that God has created manifests his glory. You look at the glory of the galaxies, the stars. You wonder at the mountains. You wonder at the tiny insects and flowers. Oh, the glory of God's creation manifests, reflects the glory of the one who created it all. And he did it all, don't you know, the Bible tells us, literally in 6 days, my friends. Not billions and billions of nonsensical years. No, my friends, in 6 days. That's the way that we naturally understand and read God's revelation. It's his word. He was there in the beginning. Charles Darwin tells you about billions and billions of years, but nobody can go back there. My friends, it's unprovable. But God has given us his own record, his own testimony, that in the beginning, in six literal 24-hour periods, God made the heavens and the earth, everything in them. So when did this take place? Well, our judgment is, roughly speaking, about 4000 BC, which would make the human race about 6000 years old, roughly speaking, give or take a year or two. That, my friends, God's revelation, God's truth, God's word, my friends. Evolution is just speculation. It's not scientific. It's just speculation. It's just the philosophy of men, an idea of men, a concept dreamed up by men. If Charles Darwin had been a little bit more honest, he would have acknowledged that. But he did not. No, my friends, just the philosophy of men, just an idea of men. But men, I have to tell you, who did not like God, who did not love God, but the very opposite, hated God. That's what your Charles Darwin was, a hater of God. He hated the idea of a God who would punish in hell wicked sinners who lived independently of God. So you see, my friends, who are you going to trust? Whose word are you going to take? A God-hating, fallen, sinful, wicked man who dreamed up a philosophy of men? Or are you going to believe God's word, His testimony concerning His creation, the making of all things? But then, of course, my friends, I have to talk to you about God's recreation. Because, you see, the fact of sin. Because all men now, you see, all men now in God's creation have become, naturally speaking, have become like Charles Darwin. All become, naturally speaking, become God-haters. Enmity in their hearts and minds against God, contrary to God, contrary to the will of God, the way of God, contrary to the being of God, contrary to the law of God, not subject to the law of God. Are not many, many of us in our society today contrary to the law of the state even? Don't we kick against the state's regulations, warring, rebelling against them? Not just in our hearts, but outwardly too. But here we are, my friends, an enmity not just against the state, not just against the government of the day, but against the government of God. Sinful, wretched, blind, naked, ruined, undone, and facing a lost eternity, just like those of the old world who perished in that flood. And Jesus tells us, when He returns again, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when He returns again. Widespread, deep running, wickedness, rebellion, independency of God, and ripe, my friends, for the final and the last judgment of God. That's what we are by nature. That's how we come into the world, ripe for judgment. Conceived in sin, born in sin, and live in sin but for the grace of God. But the good news is, my friends, that the Creator, the one who made you and gave you your being, He also is responsible sovereignly for the recreation of men and women, making them again through the gospel, the good news that God Himself has produced and provided. And so we come to you this afternoon to testify to you of God. and to testify of the good news that he has brought to us. In order that in embracing the good news of the gospel, that is receiving the gospel, receiving the one of whom the gospel is about, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. In the beginning, all things were made by him, for him, and through him. Jesus Christ is the mighty creator, and the one through whom you must be recreated, made a new creature in Jesus Christ. Made all over again. That sinful, wicked nature that you have, transformed, changed by the recreative power of God in Jesus Christ. Made new, my friends. Given a new heart. Given a new nature. That wicked nature destroyed. That nature in which you receive by natural generation, by regeneration, by the recreative power of God, made a new person, related to God, in covenant friendship with God. And my friends, knowing and enjoying the love and the grace of God and all the benefits that come to men and women by the gospel. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peace that passes all understanding. Hope that never disappoints. Hope, my friends, escape from sin and judgment and hell. Escape from the wrath to come. Escape from that fearful and dreadful day when God judges all men by his Son, Jesus Christ. Hope, my friends, in a life of despair, a world of chaos and darkness, and growing the more so day by day. Oh, hope, my friends, hope beyond the grave. It's not the end, it's not the finish. It's not the bottom. You don't bottom out in the grave. There's a door in the grave, my friends. There's a door in the grave, down into the pit of outer darkness, where men and women perish in their sin because they have not been reconciled to God, because they have not been made children of God. Oh, my friends, the gospel, the good news. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, that you might be recreated, regenerated, born again, is how Jesus puts it. You must be born again. No man can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. You must be born again, says Jesus. That miracle of God, as he spoke in the beginning and brought the worlds into being, the universe and everything in it, spoken into being. One word from God. He speaks, my friends, and a sinner becomes a new creature in Jesus Christ. My friend, transformed and reformed, given, my friends, the desire for God, given the will to obey God, and given the ability to love God. You see, here's the problem. God commands you that you love him, but you don't have the ability to love him. Not until you've been made again. Not until you've been recreated can you love him. And only only through my gospel and through the preaching of the gospel. The very means, my friends, by which God brings about this miracle. A supernatural act of God putting His life into your soul and His love into your heart and giving you that ability to do that which you cannot do now, is to love Him and live in obedience to Him the rest of your days. And to be assured, my friends, of that joy, that hope, that peace, but to be assured of eternal life. That the grave be not an end for you. And that that door in the grave be sealed up. Because the end of the believer, the end of the one who trusts in Jesus, is eternal life, is heaven. Oh, it's a point if a man wants to die. After that, then comes the judgment. And there are two alternatives. You're either found to be an object of His vengeance or an object of His admiration. When Jesus comes with His holy angels, the Bible says, in flaming fire to take vengeance upon all that know not God and who obey not the gospel. But my friends, to be admired by those who love Him, who have been changed, recreated by the grace of God. Wonderful, wonderful grace of God. The free grace of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, whom we commend to you this afternoon very much so. I would have you that you would take a copy of God's word and read for yourself and be informed. You see, you cannot be saved without knowledge. And we bring this knowledge to you. We seek to impart some knowledge of the Bible to you so that you can be informed. Because without knowledge, without knowing something of the truth, well, you do not know what to believe. That's why men believe all kinds of fanciful things pertaining to God. Believe all kinds of nonsense taught to them by the Pope, by Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, the Watchtower Society. All kinds of nonsense. Fairies at the bottom of the garden. It's the Bible that you need. God's Word given to us to inform us, to impart knowledge to us. Because people are perishing without knowledge. But knowledge in itself is not enough. You have to trust. You have to trust the knowledge. The knowledge that God gives us in His Word, the Bible. Where He tells us that we must needs, in order to enter into that covenant of friendship with Him, we must needs repent of our sin, turn from it, and believe on His Son, only begotten Son from heaven, who came and died and rose again from the dead, in order that you might have eternal life. That knowledge you find only in the Bible, the only reliable source. Where Jesus will tell you, if you read His words, He will tell you what I'm telling you today. His word, not mine. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word. It's offered to you freely. Whole Bible, New Testament, Gospel of John, offered to you freely. without any cost or obligation to you. Yours, take, read, meditate, study for yourself and see. Receive the knowledge of God. Trust in the knowledge of God. And it shall be well with your soul, if you should. You'd like a copy of God's Word? Please come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hands. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious, never dying.